Harry gave a small snort of laughter. A second later, he felt sickened with himself. Ron had not asked Dumbledore to give him the prefect badge. This was not Ron's fault. Was he, Harry, Ron's best friend in the world, going to sulk because he didn't have a badge, laugh with the twins behind Ron's back, ruin this for Ron when, for the first time, he had beaten Harry at something? At this point, Harry heard Ron's footsteps on the stairs again. He stood up, straightened his glasses, and hitched a grin onto his face as Ron bounded back through the door.
"Just caught her," he said happily. "She says she'll get the clean sweep if she can."
"Cool," Harry said, and he was relieved to hear that his voice had stopped sounding hearty. "Listen, Ron, well done, mate." The smile faded off Ron's face.
"I never thought it would be me," he said, shaking his head. "I thought it would be you." "Nah, I've caused too much trouble," Harry said, echoing Fred.
"Yeah," said Ron. "Yeah, I suppose. Well, we'd better get our trunks packed, hadn't we?"
It was odd how widely their possessions seemed to have scattered themselves since they had arrived. It took them most of the afternoon to retrieve their books and belongings from all over the house and stow them back inside their school trunks. Harry noticed that Ron kept moving his prefect's badge around, first placing it on his bedside table, then putting it into his jeans pocket, then taking it out and laying it on his folded robes as though to see the effect of the red on the black. Only when Fred and George dropped in and offered to attach it to his forehead with a permanent sticking charm did he wrap it tenderly in his maroon socks and lock it in his trunk. Mrs. Weasley returned from Diagon Alley around 6 o'clock, laden with books and carrying a long package wrapped in thick brown paper that Ron took from her with a moan of longing.
"Never mind unwrapping it now. People are arriving for dinner. I want you all downstairs," she said.
But the moment she was out of sight, Ron ripped off the paper in a frenzy and examined every inch of his new broom, an ecstatic expression on his face. Down in the basement, Mrs. Weasley had hung a scarlet banner over the heavily laden dinner table, which read, "Congratulations, Ron and Hermione, new prefects." She looked in a better mood than Harry had seen her all holiday.
"I thought we'd have a little party, not a sit-down dinner," she told Harry, Ron, Hermione, Fred, George and Ginny as they entered the room. "Your father and Bill are on their way, Ron. I've sent them both owls, and they're thrilled," she added, beaming.
Fred rolled his eyes. Sirius, Lupin, Tonks and Kingsley Shacklebolt were already there, and Mad-Eye Moody stumped in shortly after Harry had got himself a butterbeer.
"Oh, Alastor, I'm glad you're here," said Mrs. Weasley brightly, as Mad-Eye shrugged off his travelling cloak. "We've been wanting to ask you for ages. Could you have a look in the writing desk in the drawing room and tell us what's inside it? We haven't wanted to open it just in case it's something really nasty."
"No problem, Molly."
Moody's electric blue eyes swiveled upward and stared fixedly through the ceiling of the kitchen.
"Drawing room," he growled as the pupil contracted. "Desk in the corner. Yeah, I see it. Yeah, it's a boggart. Want me to go up and get rid of it, Molly?"
No, I'll do it myself later," beamed Mrs. Weasley. "You have your drink. We're having a little bit of a celebration, actually."
She gestured at the scarlet banner.
"Fourth prefect in the family," she said fondly, ruffling Ron's hair.
"Prefect, eh?" growled Moody, his normal eye on Ron and his magical eyes swiveling around to gaze into the side of his head.
Harry had the very uncomfortable feeling it was looking at him and moved away towards Sirius and Lupin.
"Well, congratulations," said Moody, still glaring at Ron with his normal eye. "Authority figures always attract trouble, but I suppose Dumbledore thinks you can withstand most major jinxes, or he wouldn't have appointed you."
Ron looked rather startled at this view of the matter, but was saved the trouble of responding by the arrival of his father and eldest brother. Mrs. Weasley was in such a good mood she did not even complain that they had brought Mundungus with them too. He was wearing a long overcoat that seemed oddly lumpy in unlikely places, and declined the offer to remove it and put it with Moody's travelling cloak.